Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and his special guest David Barton share what God's Word has to say about the political responsibilities of every believer. Learn what Christians should know about government in their nation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. David Barton is here with us again today. David, God bless you, man.
Thanks, man.
You and your whole family, you guys are so special to us. Praise the Lord. Great things are happening all over the world. What we see on television, we see all the harvesting of all the crud.
Yeah.
But there's some God stuff going on that is magnificent.
That's right.
And you ain't seen nothing yet, because we're in store for the greatest awakening this nation and this world has ever seen. And you and I are right in the middle of it. Praise the Lord. We're going to see it happen, man.
That's right.
It's boiling right now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And God's never been one to tip his hand. He'll let us know what's about to happen, but he'll get it all set up, and man, he'll pull the trigger on that thing, and then Satan's standing there saying, what, what, what? And he gets slapped right between the eyes. Yeah. Don't you love it?
I do.
I'll tell you what I do. I love God, and I love what he does. David, let's go back over there where we were talking about in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
There's one more thing I want to put into this, when this idea that they had a socialistic form of church government there and what was going on, and said they all had things in common. Now, we need to just really bend the nail on the back of the board of this. That was not socialistic.
That's right.
It was not taxed. Nobody told them to do it.
Government not involved whatsoever.
It was an awakening.
Yes.
And they prayed. They got called up by the government, all right. Mm-hmm. The government come down on them hard, man, trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But they went back to their own company, and they began to pray. And boy, God shook that place, and it shook that whole community, mm-hmm. big time. But now I want you to notice something here in Acts chapter 4, when it said, they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. It didn't say anything about people around that were not believers. There wasn't anything forced on anybody.
That's right.
But those that believed, I mean, they came together in one accord, in one place. And so what was happening here? Well, if they were of one heart and of one soul by the Holy Ghost speaking the word of God, God is love. Mm-hmm. This was not a socialistic form. There was, let's go ahead and read it. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Love and grace and faith, because they spoke the word of God with boldness. So faith cometh by hearing.
Yeah.
Man, this place was full of faith.
Yeah.
They were believing God.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, now, they didn't consider what they owned, their own possession, or they didn't consider the fact that they had to protect it. Or because I'm not... You know, I've been in situations, I've been in meetings like this. I live my life like this. I don't put my trust in my possessions.
Yeah.
But when God tells me I want you to give to him or to her or something, boy, I'm telling you, I'm quick to do it, because I know my possessions are fixing to get bigger than they were
right.
before.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Always, that's in God's mind. And this is where I want to take you with this. It says... that neither was there any among them that lacked, For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. David, we've had this happen in meetings. So have you. We've been together in meetings where this happened. The power of God hit, and people just can't wait to give. They'll jump and run up the front of the service. That's what they were doing. They were piling it at the apostles' feet. They were preaching the word of God. Yeah. And these people are overwhelmed with this stuff. They're wanting to help somebody. Yeah. Now, let's center up on something here. And it says, they had all things common. I want to center up on that word. Verse 34, neither was any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them. Now, Jesus had something to say about that. But he said, any man that gives lands, houses, for my sake in the gospel, shall receive in this time a hundredfold lands, houses, possessions. So, we're sitting here with the people that he was talking to when this occurred, Peter and the other disciples that are present. What do you think they were preaching when this came about? They were preaching what Jesus taught them. Now, let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 2. And we can, once we get into this, we can see that the foundation is set here. Socialistic form of government is an attempt by a godless government to imitate what God has done in having all things common. Mm-hmm. But you're under that form of government, you're not giving to the poor, you're being taxed to the poor.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. It don't work.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons it don't work is because it is a blasphemous counterfeit of what God has already done.
It never meets the promises. I mean, it's like in the Garden of Eden, you got all this great stuff, and Satan says, well, you can have that and have knowledge too. I can give you the same stuff. And they take it and they go, ooh, this is not a good deal.
No, all we found out was we were naked.
Right.
And what's the first thing they did, man? They tried to make clothes without God telling them how. Like that's going to work.
Exactly. Let's be dumb for a minute. You
know? Oh, man.
They get this promise, but that's the way socialism is. It's a promise of what God actually gives. It's
without God.
Without the delivery of it. And it can't deliver because only God can deliver it, but it promises to deliver the same thing. So you get over here in the system, it actually promises to give you everything you had here plus, and you get over there and it's got none of it. It's got not what you had, and you don't get the plus that went with it. And that's the Garden of Eden. They had all this stuff, and well, you can have that plus, and now you got nothing.
What's the key issue to that? One plants, one sows, but it's God that gives the increase.
That's right.
And you get over into that form of government, first thing they'll do is declare there ain't no God.
And there ain't no increase. We get the increase. God doesn't give it, and you'll give the increase to us. And the whole focus, the whole direction changes. It's no longer from God going toward the individual. It's the individual going toward the government.
Yeah.
And the whole thing turns
God,
around backwards.
You just go away.
That's right.
Now, here it is in Ephesians 2. In verse 11. Remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, or no, you being without God, that's what Gentile means, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. At that time, before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at that time you were without his anointing. The word Christ is not just talking about, not just referring to him specifically, but referring to what is available to you in him. And the word Christ is translation of the word anointing. At that time you were without him, so you were without his anointing. Being aliens from the common wealth of Israel. Not the common poverty of Israel.
Right.
The common wealth. It is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth.
That's right.
Not, it is not the power of the state to allow you to get wealth. It is the common wealth of God. God intended for every human being to be wealthy. Mm-hmm. That is his plan in the earth. Now, when you understand that, and here's this church. They had all things common. They're no longer aliens from the common wealth that God has provided. Why? Because that anointing moved on them. And the first thing they did was begin to give. And it'll be given back to them again. And that church got big and powerful. Yeah. And it scared the daylights out of that government, too.
Yeah.
So now you can see where the base and the foundation of all righteous government is, righteous church operation is. It's based in the common giving of people, not the common taxation of people.
And see, that's where, with the jurisdictions that exist in the Bible, God gave certain things into certain jurisdictions. It is parents who are told to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Churches aren't told to do that, and the government's
not
told to do
that. And not a village.
That's right. It is parents that are told to do that. It is the government that's told to bear the sword of civil justice. It's not the church that's supposed to do that. Every time the church does it, you get an atrocity.
Well,
like
they
we had
got in a mess with that every time they try.
There are jurisdictions. Wealth does not come from government. Wealth comes from government staying out of the area and letting individuals connect with God to get wealth. If government gets in that area, it's crossed a jurisdictional line, it will suppress the very blessing that God is trying
God
to give.
God is the source of all
God's
wealth,
the source
David.
Of that. And see, the whole concept of American government was very, very simple. We said it in the Declaration of Independence, the first 46 words. We said, there's a God. He gives you certain rights. The purpose of government is to make sure that the rights he gave you, you get. In other words, we're going to stay out of what God told you you could do. And if you have that, you have limited government and you have prosperity. When you have government that gets into things it should never be in, you will lose your prosperity. All you have to do is look across the rest of the world. I mean, look at Europe where the socialism abounds. People are used to it. They're complacent with it. A 68% tax rate in Denmark, and that doesn't count withholding taxes. You can get used to anything. You can get used to living in a cage. You can get used to living on a plantation. You can get used to living in grave clothes if you want to. Doesn't mean it's the right way to live. And that is the difficulty, is where you find this stuff, it kills and stifles prosperity. And that's exactly the problem with socialism, is it takes what God has given, it tries to duplicate it, and it kills it in the process.
That makes it dangerous, doesn't it?
It makes it dangerous. It looks like it's going to work. It's promised to work. It has great promise held out to people. People say, man,
wow,
we can get that without the work, without the effort, without the labor. It'll just be ours. And really, socialism is the fruit of laziness, quite frankly. Because you have to work hard to keep a limited government. You don't have to work hard to keep socialism. That is the default position. If you just relax, you go into socialism. It's real easy. You have to work hard. And there's a cycle we've got here that really, there's some verses that stand out to me.
This is so amazing.
This was done in the late 1800s by a professor. Alexander Fraser Tytler did this. And he said for nations, but I tell you, it's the same with individuals. It's the same with businesses or anything else.
You look at the church, and you can see it. You can see it.
It's really clear.
Yeah.
You start by being in bondage. That's where we are without Christ. We're in bondage. It's where any individual is. That's where nations began, in bondage.
Well, you're right back in there in that fourth chapter of the book of
Acts. That's right.
They were under the heel of that government.
They're in bondage.
And they were trying to keep them from preaching in the name of
That's
Jesus,
right.
And they cried out to God.
And Israel is in Egypt. It is in bondage. Well, when you're in bondage, you get a great revelation of spiritual truth. Somebody comes and says, here's the truth. Here's how you can get out of bondage. Here's what you're going to have to do. You know, Moses will show up, or Aaron will show up, or
That's
somebody
right.
will come witness to you and say, hey, here's what Christ will do. So you go from bondage to having spiritual truth given to you. At that point, you've got a decision
okay,
to make.
Okay, so now we've gone from bondage then
to spiritual
truth.
Now, to get the next step, it's going to take great courage, because you've got to make some decisions. Do I really want to leave Egypt? Maybe I like the leeks and the garlics and all the fish I had in Egypt. Maybe I don't want to get out in the desert on my own. Maybe I'm just really happy.
People
are
going to talk ugly about me.
Exactly.
I don't know whether I want to be part of that faith bunch or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so once you've been in bondage and get spiritual truth, then you're going to have to make a decision of courage. If you make the decision of courage, then it results in liberty. That's the way
America's working. What I see right here, this guy's in bondage. Why is he in bondage? You know the truth. Truth make you free.
That's right.
So somebody here preached the truth to him. Now, the truth made faith.
Yeah.
And faith made him have courage. And he came blasting out of there with that great courage.
And now he gets liberty that goes with it. He's free. Now, but that's not the end of the story. Because once you get liberty, once you get free, then you have the power to exercise all sorts of God's principles, and now it produces abundance. From freedom comes abundance. And that's what happened in the American Revolution. You know, we go from bondage to spiritual truth to courage to liberty, and then we became the most prosperous nation on the world. Now, we were the same America before, but we were under a different government system. We were under bondage.
That's right.
And so being under the British, as good as the British were, we didn't have the same. The land didn't change. Nothing. We changed our system. We're out from under bondage. We now have liberty ourselves, and that produces abundance. That's the danger, is at that point. And God told them over in Deuteronomy, said, your blessings are going to become your curse if you're not
Don't
really careful with
forget.
This. That's right. Me, I'm the one who gives you wealth. You're going to
you
think
didn't
that.
Do it.
That's right. Look at the great vineyard I produced. No, I gave you that vineyard. And what happens is if you get abundance, you forget where it comes from, and then you move to the next cycle, which is selfishness.
Oh, dear.
It's
Lord.
Mine.
See,
that's the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. The selfishness was there. The prosperity was there. Everything they had, the wealth, the commonwealth is there. But now we're going to be selfish with it. And once you go into selfishness, the next step, and see, this is. Nations fight with this. America fights with selfishness all the time. You know, we're an egocentric nation. It's all about us. You got to maintain the liberty and the abundance, but not be selfish with it. But selfishness leads you right into complacency.
Oh.
And complacency is like, it's kind of like I'm napping. I'm half asleep. And if something walks into the room that's dangerous around me, I'm really not aware of it anymore. I'm not seeing the traps that are laid around. I'm just kind of half
After
asleep.
After all, I'm da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
That selfishness becomes a part
of it won't happen to me.
Too.
Exactly.
That
selfishness becomes presumptuous. And it becomes, God loves me too much to let that happen to me. No, God loves his principles, and he's going to follow his principles. And if you get outside his principles, it's going to happen to you. He may still love you, but it's going
to
happen.
There is a way that seems right to
and
a
man,
but the end thereof is death.
And that's complacency, because you're into, and so you're in this quasi-sleep mode, and the next step is apathy.
Yeah.
And apathy is when somebody tries to wake you up and say, Ken, wake up. Oh, no, I'm enjoying my sleep. And at that point, the next step.
I don't need to be in politics, man. You know that.
I'm staying out of that. I'm not going to get involved. Yeah. You know, separation churches. Yeah. And the next step is dependence, because at that point you got to rely on somebody else to do everything for you. And once you go into dependence, you're back into bondage. But the key is up here in these steps between liberty and abundance. And the passage I really like on this is Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you don't stand up for liberty, you're going to get tangled up in the yoke of bondage. If you don't stand up for a free market system, you're going to get tangled up in socialism.
Now, that verse of scripture right there in Galatians 5:1, that lays this, that proves that this is scripture.
That's right. Because if you don't stand your liberty right there, you're going to get entangled in the yoke of bondage. And it's a step, it's a five-step process to get you in bondage, but it's going to end up
but
in bondage.
But now that's not the end of it.
No.
This is not a square. There's not
no,
a gap in
right.
this thing. Here's the key, and I want you to get hold of this now. Don't let this thing put you in bondage.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
We're down here. We're already here. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're going to get there if we're not careful. We're already there because this stuff wouldn't have been able to manifest in our
faith. If we were standing
like
in our liberty, if we would stand up in our liberty, we're not going to have to fight this, but, we're fighting now.
But here's the thing. There are people all over this nation and all over this world that are tithing.
That's right.
We're still involved in spiritual truth.
Right.
We're still acting on the word.
That's right.
Our courage is still there. The faith of God is still in us. And we're not going to let go. I'm going to keep kicking this thing.
That's right. And see, this is the bottom. And this is what we slide to. If you relax, you slide down to the bottom of the hill. You got to fight to stay up on top. But it's worth the fight.
It is
worth the fight to stay up there.
We're on the brink, I believe it's already started. And God's been preparing us. He's been preparing the church, particularly in the United States, for the last 100 years, ever since Azusa Street, to start this thing again.
That's right.
And get out of this bondage. There is a level of prosperity that's coming to the body of Christ. That's beyond anything anybody's ever seen.
Yeah.
And the devil knows that. He's heard it preached, and he knows that. And that he's trying to sink us all before it can happen. But I got news for him. Mm-hmm. You can send his saddle home, brother. He's done. Mm-hmm. His future is terrible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ours is bright.
Yeah.
We're right in that place right now. Nobody can defeat a tither. And particularly when there's a whole bunch of us.
That's right.
And we're believing God. And you and I are involved in it. And we're preaching it. And we're standing on it. And we're growing. And they don't want to hear about
that's
it.
Right.
But we still are.
That's right. And see, I really see a lot of people coming out of complacency.
Yeah,
that they've been in complacency and they're saying, whoa, I just woke up. What's going on here?
Right, yeah.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
When you wake up out of complacency, you don't have to make the rest of the slide. We'll go back over here to liberty again.
Talk about this now in the life of an individual.
You bet.
You can apply this to your household.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Your children.
Right. That's exactly right.
If you'll teach them, you can teach them this right here.
That's right.
Hey, baby, I'll tell you why. We can't be doing that.
Yep.
You can't, just because the other kids do it, you can't do it because here's why. And
you stand for principles and not for convenience.
Yeah.
If you start going to convenience, you'll compromise your principles and you'll start the slide. You got to take those principles, stand fast and firm on those principles and not move off them. Do that in your household. Do that in your business. Do that in your family. Do that in your life. Do that in your nation. Do that in your city. It's going to work everywhere.
Jesus said, he that doeth truth, or he that acts on the word, will come to the light. Every time I read that, I can just see this little cork. You turn loose at the bottom of the lake, and I don't care how deep it is, it goes right to the top.
To it. Yep.
He will come to the light. And it will be made manifest that his deeds are worked by God.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm one of them little corks. Praise God.
That's right.
You can't keep us off of the top. Now, we're out of time, Brother David, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers' intentions were concerning the government and where God fits in? The Godly Heritage Package by David Barton will help you come to a better understanding of America's heritage. In this special package, you'll receive America's Godly Heritage, a DVD that is perfect for those who want to know more about what was intended for America and what we can do to help America return to its godly roots. Plus, a book entitled Separation of Church and State, What the Founders Meant. The very foundation of this country is based on God. Learn how to defend your stand for Christ by knowing what happened historically when this country was being birthed. Order your copy of the Godly Heritage Package, now available for just $17. For faster delivery, visit our website at kcm.org and order online. This package includes a DVD and book from best-selling author and speaker David Barton. To request your package by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy today.
Right now, you order this, the Godly Heritage Package by David Barton. The separation of church and state and what the founders meant. This needs to be in every church, in every pastor's office. It is just this simple explanation. Now, there's something that is very important to understand here. When you read articles about Thomas Jefferson, you read articles about John Adams or George Washington. Well, this scholar over here is quoting that scholar over there. Yeah. You can hear all kinds of just bull that way because they quote one another without quoting Jefferson without quoting Mr. Washington.
That's right.
Go find out what the man said and what he meant when he said it, because these men not only said these things, they explained what they meant because they were involved in something that had never happened before. And it's all available. You just need to know what it is.
That's
pastors,
right.
Get your hands on this.
That's right.
It ought to be made this big and in the foyer of the church where people understand this, and you quit getting run over by politicians over it and other people like other organizations. Now, America's Godly Heritage. You need to know what it's all about, because you're going to have to stand up for it and you have to believe God for it. And where is it in the Bible?
Yeah.
If it's in the Bible, we stand for it. If it isn't, then it's just somebody's pipe dream. But it's in the Word of God. So you need to get a hold of these.
That's
now,
right.
How do you pray? You pray, God heal the land. 2 Chronicles 7, it's explained exactly what God said what he would do and on what conditions. You go to Isaiah chapter 1, he said, I'll heal your land, but I'll do it my way. I'll change your judges back like they were at the first, then I'll change your lawyers, and then I will get rid of your phony money, and I'll put it back on silver and gold. Pray that way, and God will move. Amen. We're here for you. There's somebody 24 hours a day in our headquarters in Fort Worth, a trained prayer staff that's there to pray with you and pray for you. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.